You're tuned to WDIY Classics on WDIY Allentown, listener-supported community public radio. My name is Waldemar Vanofskis. I'm your host for this Friday edition of WDIY Classics. And coming up this weekend, the Allentown Symphony Orchestra continues their 2011-2012 concert season with a program entitled The Planets. Saturday, April 14th at 8 p.m., Sunday, April 15th, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, music of James Horner, Claude Debussy, John Corigliano, and Gustav Holst. We're going to hear from Apollo 13, Claire de Lune, Voyage, and The Planets. It's a weekend full of music of outer space, and it'll be featuring a special film of The Planets by astronomer and video artist Jose Francisco Salgado. Let's begin our program this morning with music of James Horner. This is the main titles from the film Apollo 13, right here on WDIY Classics. That's the music of James Horner for a Friday morning right here on WDIY Classics. The opening titles from the film Apollo 13. That piece will be featured on a program entitled The Planets, April 14th and 15th at Symphony Hall in Allentown. Diane Wittrie is an American musical conductor. She has degrees in violin performance and conducting from the University of Southern California. She has conducted orchestras in Florida, in Texas, and around the world. She currently serves as the music director and conductor of both the Allentown Symphony Orchestra and the Norwalk Symphony Orchestra in Connecticut. She is a friend of WDIY and public radio, and we welcome her back to our microphones. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Great to be here. What an inspiring way to start our program today. That solo trumpet, James Horner, man, he nails it.
Yeah, he's a wonderful composer. And, you know, it's a little bit unusual for me to start a classical subscription concert with a piece that we associate more with film. But I thought it was actually completely appropriate because this whole concert is actually about film and about the relationship of visuals to the actual music. And James Horner is just a fabulous composer. And I just thought it really set the right mood for the opening of this concert. There wasn't any other piece I could come up with that fit better. So I think it's a great opener.
Yeah, that solo trumpet, you know, the theme of the program is I'm going to say outer space. It's the planets, it's the moon, it's this voyage, and that solo trumpet, it just sort of drags you out there. You know, it just keeps going on and on, and it kind of gives you this feeling of openness and distance, and it really is.
And it's
amazing.
Interesting how I make the whole first half of the concert work, because the arrangement we're doing of this Apollo 13 is a little bit longer, so it has that beautiful opening, but then it also builds up, and actually I have a chorus that will be singing for that also. But then we cut from that to the very, very beautiful and quiet Clair de Lune, and then go into a Crigliano piece. So the whole first half sort of has a very nice arc to it. It's a little bit more passive in some ways than the second half, where we bring in the film with the Gustav Holst, the planets.
Well, let's start there. We have a special guest with us today, and will be sort of the heart of this second part of the program. Astronomer and video artist Jose Francisco Salgado. He is originally from Puerto Rico, now resides in Chicago. He has done this work with many other orchestras, as far flung as the Boston Pops Orchestra, and we're so grateful that he has joined us this morning. Welcome to WDIY.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome to Allentown. Diane, tell me a little bit about how you discovered Jose and about the visual aspect. You know, sometimes we sort of cut these different artistic mediums into sections. You know, we'll go to a museum and everybody's quiet. There's no talking, no music. You just look at the pictures. You go to a concert and there's no pictures. You just sit and listen to the music, and you sort of bring those two together for this concert, and it's both the visual and audio experience.
Yeah, and I think our world is changing out there, and part of that is because of YouTube. People are very, very used to now being able to go to YouTube and to listen to a piece of music, but to also have a visual. And sometimes on YouTube, that's a visual of the actual orchestra performing. Other times, people are beginning to put other visual images to music. And as our society grows, you know, we have film, and we're just used to combining these types of elements. And I think it's fascinating, particularly with the planets, because it's such a great opportunity. There's so much wonderful footage that NASA put out that is available that really can make these planets come to life. So I had decided that I was very interested in doing this work. And I began my research as to what films and things were available. And there were quite a few choices that had surfaced, but I heard a lot of really great things about Jose Francisco's film and did some further research with my colleagues. And he had already had it performed with quite a few, you know, very reputable orchestras. And when you see names like the Boston Pops and some of these other orchestras, you think, well, this is something I should really look into. So I contacted him. And luckily, we were able to work out the dates and work out the scheduling, because not only are we doing this concert for the subscription concert, but also on Friday morning and on the following Monday morning, we're doing it for young people in the area. For about 4,000, 5,000 young people are going to be coming. And we won't be doing the entire planets. We'll do shorter versions, but they'll actually get to experience each of the planets. It's a wonderful learning experience for them to both experience this music live, but also to see the film. And the scoring of this orchestration for the planets is huge. Normally, when you come to a symphony concert, you might see two flutes or three flutes. Rarely do we go beyond what I call the threes of the woodwinds, you know, the flutes, oboes, clarinets, bassoons. But if you come to the planets, you look on stage, you'll notice that there's four of the flutes. There's four of the oboes. There's four clarinets. There's four bassoons. And so with that, he's scoring for what we call the auxiliary instruments. So you will see an alto flute. It's a larger flute. You're going to see and hear both an English horn and also a bass oboe. Now, this is the only piece in the repertoire that uses a bass oboe. It's a very unusual instrument. It's a hard instrument to track down. It's, you know, the player was talking about having to make a reed. It's a very large, you know, it's a much larger instrument than an English horn. Hard to control, but it has this really sort of guttural, sort of wonderful sound. And then you'll see in the clarinets, obviously, we've got the bass clarinet. In the bassoons, we'll have the contrabassoon. lots of horns. He uses 6 French horns throughout the entire work, 4 trumpets, the trombones. He also uses the euphonium, which is a smaller version of the tuba and has a very unique voice, and he actually gives a lot of solos to the euphonium player. He uses 2 timpani players, lots of percussion, 2 harps. So the stage would be incredibly full. It makes it a lot of fun.
Amazing. So that the music alone will be enough to capture you.
Blow you off the stage. The sound of the orchestra is amazing. It really is.
Jose, again, your title is astronomer and visual artist. Which came first, or did they sort of happen kind of in parallel?
Well, academically speaking, astronomer, but I have been taking pictures since I was 13, so I was interested in the visual arts from an early age. It's just that in grad school, I started combining different disciplines to communicate science. So this is all about the promotion of multidisciplinary works to get people interested in something that they were not interested in before. Right. In the case of the films, we're using the medium of a film to communicate science. So the idea is that people come to the concert hall because they love to listen to beautiful music, but then they're exposed to these incredible images of the solar system, and hopefully we will plant the seed of curiosity. And when people come out of the hall, they say like, "Wow, you know, I've been exposed to these incredible images. Now I want to learn more about them." Mm-hmm. So instead of making a documentary, we're making an art piece that will inspire people to learn more about what they have seen.
Now, academically, you're an astronomer. How did you get your start? What was the inspiration for you to pursue that? Did you were you a kind of a stargazer as a child, or when did that launch?
I was, but it started when I was in third grade. I found a book about the first man on the moon that my dad owned, and I was just fascinated by the subject and the technology that took us there. So I didn't even know the word astronomy, but I said that this is what I want to do. I want to study space. So that always stayed with me. But along the way, I developed some other interests, like I said, photography, and then music, and then the graphic arts. And then I found myself, without ever coming up with a master plan, I found myself combining all these things to produce these works, to the point, in a way, some kind of not ending, but some kind of culmination to a certain degree, was the formation of this nonprofit organization called KV265, whose mission is the communication of science through art.
Okay, the film itself. Tell me a little bit about how you sort of began to develop the film and putting the pictures together, and where did that all come from?
So in 2005, the Chicago Sinfonietta approached us at the Adler Planetarium to see if we could come up with some kind of visual backdrop for 2 concerts that they were having in 2006. And because of all my interests in all these subjects, they asked me, and I said, sure. I mean, this is my chance to move from photography and still graphic art into motion graphics and film. But I said, instead of making a pretty slideshow of images, which in a way would suffice, I said, how about if I make a film that follows very closely what's happening with the music? So that way we don't make something that might distract from the music, but actually would enhance the whole concert experience. And the result was that. The result was the film called Gustav Holst's The Planets. Put Gustav Holst there in the title of the film because I wanted to emphasize that this is about music. This is about his music, and I'm just augmenting the whole experience. And as you will see, there's this very strong correlation between what's happening on screen and what's happening with the music coming from the orchestra.
Now, Diane, have you seen the film?
I've now seen it.
You've now seen it.
Yeah, when I hired Jose Francisco, I think I'd seen only the Mars version.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd seen some of the film, but now I've seen, because it's very tricky how this all comes together, because the film is already made and the film has certain timings. So the challenge for me as a conductor, which is a little bit backwards of how we normally work, is that I must make sure that the music actually arrives at the right points when the film is there and the film is already going. So I have to make sure that my tempos fit with what is already pre-programmed on the film.
And so do you you watch and play over it? Are there cues in the score or cues on the film, or how do you know if you're right in the right place?
Well, the way we're working this is I will have a monitor, and Jose Francisco has a time code, which is minutes and seconds. So I've gone through my score and written in about every four bars where I'm supposed to be. But we were rehearsing last night, and I found that actually I need to put some more time codes in, because if I'm starting a movement, and I also wrote down the tempo markings, but say I'm off by just a little bit, if I don't have another time code marking for four bars, I could be off quite a bit. So I want to make sure that I, especially at the beginnings when I'm setting the tempos, that I have more time codes so I can line it up. But it's really quite challenging, because you're trying to think about your conducting and musically what you want to say and making sure you've got everybody coming in at the right time. At the same time, you have to keep an eye on this computer screen in front of you and these seconds ticking by. And then you start getting behind or ahead and you go, oh no, I have to fix this. And how do I, slow it down, speed it up? And so it's a whole nother challenge. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, that sort of answered my next question, because I guess it is extremely appropriate that we start with James Horner, because in a sense, Holst's The Planets now becomes the film score. And I would imagine for somebody like James Horner or Hans Zimmer or any of these great movie composers, they have a two-hour movie and say, okay, we need this piece to fit into this scene. And it's not, they're not going to make the scene fit the music. You're going to make the music fit the scene.
Exactly.
And so... So again, you live under this constraint. And so as visually inspiring as those pictures may be, you're actually driven by the boundaries that Jose has set in the film.
Right. And at the same time, it's a cycle, right? At the same time, when I edited the film, I was constrained by Holst.
Yeah.
It's not that I can just say, I want to show this and this and that and go beyond the time or go beyond the musical passages. No, I'm constrained by the music. But yeah, I think that the trick is to make this work for the person that doesn't necessarily know the music by Holst. The idea is to show something like you said, that it gives the illusion that the music is the score to this film. Right, that's you have to reach that point where they are actually enhancing each other and augmenting each other, and not just, you don't want the film going in one direction and then the music going another direction, because then the whole experience will suffer, right? I mean,
sure.
I think you're going to overwhelm the senses, and the music will suffer in the end. So I think that in a way, and music comes first always for me. So in a way, for me to respect the music is to make a film that I'm following, where I'm following the music really, really closely. And then, of course, it's very fun. The creative process, it's challenging, but it's fun. And then, of course, I had my challenge when I edited it, and now Diane has the challenge to make it work exactly
in the
concert hall.
I wanted to go to the concerts this weekend. I think I would rather go Friday or Monday and just watch the expressions on their faces, because it is just when these images and the music, you could sit in there with your eyes closed and the music will explode in your ears, and then you put these images in front of them and it just explodes in front of their eyes, and it's just this dual thing, the way it engages them.
Yeah. One of the things I really like about what Jose Francisco has done with the film is that it's not just a film, but he also will put in, words that tell you what you're looking at. I remember there's one that had the dust clouds, And I wouldn't have known what those were, but, you know, to actually have that word show up and then you know what you're looking at. And you also bring in some historical things, which I think are very, very interesting.
Some works on paper. Yes.
Yeah, and I thought that was – I don't know of the other films that are out there for the planets that are doing that sort of more historical look at it.
Right, and then the other thing is that I'm following a visual storyline. I'm not – just following the music and showing images at random, you know, there's a story and a logical order behind them. Like, you know, in Jupiter, we explore Jupiter first. We explore its very famous Great Red Spot, right? This storm that is more than 300 years old, and then we explore two of its moons discovered by Galileo. And actually, at the beginning, we see Galileo's sketches. Yeah. You know, from 16, I think he observed those in 1610. He started observing in 1609. So, and then we should add that the film and the concert will be preceded just before the music by an introduction by me, where I show some of the visuals and I put things into context, because people ask me afterwards, is this real? Is this science fiction? You know, are these things that we really want to achieve as space explorers? And it's like, no, these are things that we have. So it's a nice synthesis of what we have achieved. And then, of course, it will be even more facilitated in the youth concerts, where Diane is going to be talking about the music and I'll be talking about the science behind the film.
All right. For our listeners, you're tuned to WDIY Classics on WDIY Allentown, listener-supported community public radio, 88.1 FM and HD, Allentown and Bethlehem. My name is Waldemar Vanofskis. I'm your Friday host. And with me in the studio is Maestra Diane Wittry. She is the musical director and conductor of the Allentown Symphony Orchestra. Along with us in the studio is Dr. Jose Francisco Salgado. He's an astronomer and visual artist. He works at the Adler Planetarium in Chicago, and he's the executive director of KV265, a nonprofit organization whose mission is the communication of science through art. Both of them will be plying their hand to their arts this weekend, April 14th, Saturday at 8 o'clock, Sunday, April 15th at 3 p.m. at Symphony Hall in Allentown. More information is on the website, allentownsymphony.org. Just click on that and then click on the little picture of the planet there, and it'll give you the full rundown on the concert. The concert will feature music of James Horner, Claude Debussy, John Corigliano, and Gustav Holst. We're talking about a special film that Jose Francisco Salgado has created to accompany the work of Holst, The Planets. We're going to be listening to a little bit from the planets here in just a minute. I wanted to ask Jose Francisco just a question. Actually, I want to ask you about 20 questions. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you just one to start. The pictures themselves are now, are these NASA pictures? These are your pictures? Where did they come from?
Most of them, yes. Most of them come from NASA spacecraft that have visited these planets, and some from either ground-based or Earth-orbiting satellites, such as the Hubble Space Telescope. So everything, all the images are real images, and then they're accompanied by animations made by NASA to portray what the spacecraft are doing or will be doing, right? So the day of the event, let's say that the Mars exploration rovers reach Mars, so then you get on the media outlets, you get an animation of what these things are doing, right? So the animations are based on actual events that happened.
Okay. Well, should we listen to a little bit of the music? All right. Where do you start? Let's pull out all the stops. Let's do Mars. All right. We're going to hear just the first movement of The Planets, Opus 32. It is Mars, the Bringer of War. This is the London Philharmonic Orchestra under the baton of Sir Adrian Bolt. This was music that will be performed this weekend at Allentown Symphony Hall.
Thank you.
That's the beginning of Mars, the music of Gustav Holst, for a Friday morning right here on WDIY Classics. That was Mars, the Bringer of War, from the Planets Opus 32. That's Sir Adrian Bolt conducting the London Philharmonic Orchestra. My name is Waldemar Vanofskis, and I am your host for this Friday edition of WDIY Classics. We're talking about a program that will be performed this weekend, two concerts at the Allentown Symphony Hall, the Allentown Symphony Orchestra presenting the Planets, including Apollo 13 by James Horner, Clair de Lune by Claude Debussy, Voyage by John Corigliano, and The Planets by Gustav Holst. With me in the studio, the music director and conductor of the Allentown Symphony Orchestra, Diane Wittry, and along with her, the astronomer and video artist, Jose Francisco Salgado. And we are talking about the intersection of music and visual art. The concert this weekend will be accompanied by a movie or a film produced by Jose Francisco Salgado. Diane, that is a powerful piece of music, and I can just only imagine then when you add the video how this all comes together.
And it's really amazing because the orchestra, like I said before, is huge. So you have all this brass and this just wonderful power of the sound. I think one of the reasons this piece is so popular, one, it's just a great concept, you know, working your way through all the planets. No one had really done that before. But two, the fact that the way it's composed in all the movements, Holst utilizes a lot of material over and over again. And you know, this opening movement is actually in 5/4, which is unusual, but it's this ostinato. It just sort of gets into your soul. And then on top of that, he has this motivic melody that's repeated many, many times. And I really think that those are, you know, the two things that really make this work come alive is the fact that when an audience person hears the Planets and they leave, they can remember the melodies from the movements because they're repeated so many times, but they never become stagnant or boring because each time he features a different color of sound. You know, so in some of the later movements, you know, you know, he has that melody and it's repeated, you know, 11 times, but each time it's a different instrument. And so you're drawn into how he builds those colors. It's like a painter, you know, starts off with one layer of color and then he uses the same concept, but then he layers this with other colors and it builds and builds and builds. And he brings us through the piece in that way. And I think that's one of the reasons that the piece has really stayed in the repertoire, because it has so many of these beautiful motivic melodies that are repeated.
One more question for Jose. Jose, you began as an astronomer. Along with that, you were a photographer, and so you brought in your hobby or your passion into your work of astronomy, and you formed this organization, KV-265, and the goal then is to communicate science through art. KV-265, that's sort of there's a little double entendre there. KV is the library listing for the Mozart works, the Kirschel listings.
That's right. So I wanted a name for the organization with a story behind it, and I wanted people to ask, what is it, right? And that way you start a conversation.
Yeah,
I thought
it was some sort of planet or something, right, or galaxy.
It could be a nebula or a galaxy. So it's actually 265 is the catalog number for the piano variations later used on Twinkle Twinkle Little Star.
Uh-huh.
So I wanted to, you know, to explore and play with that, the connections between popular culture and music and astronomy. So, you know, what better than Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star?
In addition to the Holst work that you've done, what other artistic works have you done or are you working on?
Yeah, so the second film is based on pictures at an exhibition. So it's called Astronomical Pictures at an Exhibition, and it uses astronomical images as artwork. So instead of looking at the original paintings, we're looking at beautiful astronomical images that just look like that. It just looked like nature has been, you know, painting these masterworks for us. And then a piece based on the Blue Danube called Over the Beautiful Blue Planet, and it's an homage to Stanley Kubrick and that famous scene in 2001. So it uses footage of Earth taken by astronauts aboard the ISS and the space shuttle. And then the final work, which was premiered by Mei-Yan Chen and the Chicago Sinfonietta last November, is called Moonrise, and it's based on the two suites of Daphne and Chloe, and it's about humankind's fascination with the moon. So not only the scientific aspects, but also the romantic aspects and the historical aspects. So it covers a lot about that fascination with the moon that we have had for millennia.
Does KV-265 basically work out of Chicago, or where are your, where do you get to do your outreach, and how are you promoting it?
Really, around the world. Like the second Moonrise concert was in Portugal, and now I'll have another presentation with a fellow musician, Tom Bailey, in Valencia, Spain, where we present these films. I present the films. He plays the music or some of the music live, and then the films are interspersed by explanations of what people are seeing online. That ensemble is called the Bailey Salgado Project, and you can find more information online. So the idea is to go around the world and talk about science, but doing it in such a way that it's entertaining. You're using the art and the music to entertain people, and the visual aspect, which is so, so powerful. Once you get people's attention, then you can talk for hours about what people are seeing on screen. So that's the idea. It's based on Chicago, but we basically travel around the world.
All right. If people want more information, where would they go to find it?
KV265.org.
There you go, KV265.org. Dr. Jose Francisco Salgado, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's all right. Been fun.
Should we listen a little more? Should we listen to the end of the Neptune, or do you want to listen to something else?
Let's listen to the end of Neptune, because this is where Holst does something a little bit unusual in the fact that he has in the score a woman's chorus. But the chorus does not sing words. They sing ah, and he's usually using this as an orchestral-type sound. And the interesting thing is that he actually says that the chorus should not be seen. They are sort of like the spirits of eternity that echo. And so we will have our chorus, and I won't tell you where they are going to be because you have to come to the concert, but the chorus will not be seen, but they'll be clearly heard, but they'll be at a different spot from where the orchestra is. Of course, my worry is, there'll be a time delay between us, and can we make this, so it's absolutely still together? Those are the challenges that we work through. But we're very fortunate to have Kutztown University and Lafayette College involved, and they have provided our women's chorus. So let's listen to the ending so you can hear a little bit of how that chorus will create the ending. They really end the piece.
Again, this is the London Philharmonic Orchestra under the baton of Sir Adrian Bolt, along with the Geoffrey Mitchell Choir, on the concluding measures of Gustav Holst's Neptune the Mystic, right here on WDIY. That's the music of Gustav Holst right here on WDRY Classics. That was Neptune the Mystic, the London Philharmonic Orchestra, the Geoffrey Mitchell Choir under the direction of Sir Adrian Bolt. That piece of music, the entire Planets Opus 32, will be featured this weekend in a pair of concerts at Allentown Symphony Hall. April 14th, Saturday at 8 o'clock, April 15th, Sunday at 3 o'clock. More information is on their website, allentownsymphony.org, where you can also call the box office. And the number for the box office
is 610-432-6715.
And that's the Maestra Diane Whitry. She is the music director and conductor of the Allentown Symphony Orchestra. My name is Waldemar Benofskis. So the core of this concert, or the kind of the high, maybe the climax, is the Planets, along with the film by Jose Francisco Salgado. But there's other music that goes along with it. And you've put together quite an interesting little collection, musically a little diverse. It's not all going to be kind of the same.
No,
so you have this sort of grand orchestral work as the beginning, as sort of James Horner piece. That's pretty large, and the Planets is pretty large, but kind of what's in the middle is a little different.
Exactly, and a little bit softer, actually. So I basically took the Apollo 13, and then the concert actually goes to A Quiet Moment of Claire de Lune for solo piano. I could have done the orchestral version, but I really wanted to have us think more about the moon, and the moon being a sort of a singular entity. I just really like the concept of going to that solo player. So we'll be featuring Michael Toth, who is our regular pianist with the symphony. He's from the area. He's a fabulous player, and it's going to be a very wonderful moment. Then I go to a piece by John Carigliano, and John wrote the score for the Red Violin. He's been nominated as Composer of the Year. He's a fabulous, fabulous composer. And he wrote a piece called Voyage. And with this piece, he wrote both a choral version and a string version. And originally, I had programmed the string version. And it's very much in the style of say, the Barber Adagio for strings. It's very sort of pensive, reflective, beautiful harmonies, but also interesting harmonies. But then I got to thinking that, you know, I have this woman's chorus that's singing off stage at the end of the Planets. And it occurred to me that it would be really nice to be able to feature the chorus on stage for something. So I actually made a shift and invited the chorus to join us for the Carigliano. So they'll be actually singing, and we'll be supporting that with the string version also. So sort of superimposing both of his versions together on this. And then after the Voyage piece, I selected another piece by John Carigliano so they kind of can sit together like a slow movement, fast movement on the concert. And so ending the first half of the concert, we then have a piece of John's called The Mannheim Rocket.
Okay. Well, why don't we have a little bit of time. Do you want to listen to the strings and the choral, or just the choral?
We won't listen to the whole thing. You'll have to come to the concert. But let's listen to first the string version, and then you'll hear it again, just that opening of how the same music is done then with the chorus.
All right. This is the music of John Corigliano. It's entitled The Voyage, and it's the string setting of that right here on WDIY. That's the music of John Corigliano right here on WDIY Classics. That's entitled Voyage. We heard two versions of that, the choral version with the Kansas City Chorale and a string version. That piece will be performed, the choral version of it, this weekend in a pair of concerts at Allentown Symphony Hall. This is WDIY Classics. My name is Waldemar Vanoskis. In the studio with me, the maestra, Diane Wittry. Diane, that's a beautiful, beautiful piece of music, and it what a compliment to this whole image of the outer space and this kind of, you know, I guess the word that comes to mind is just sort of distant and open, and just sort of this kind of the horizon is, I'm going to say there is no horizon, it just goes on, you know, this beautiful, uplifting piece of music.
Yeah, I think it's a very nice combination. And you know, if you go to a lot of my concerts, you know that normally I talk a lot at the concert, and I've actually decided with this concert I won't talk until after this piece, so that the first three pieces will flow very continuously, and I like that sort of feel. But then I do have to talk before the Mannheim Rocket, because it's a piece that really needs some explanation for the audience to understand it. It's a very different musical language, same composer, but the Mannheim Rocket, I'll tell you a little background. The term Mannheim Rocket was utilized in the 1600s as a musical term to describe a rising scale that goes upwards but also gets faster. And so in this area of Mannheim, they coined this phrase. And one of the composers that was famous for this is Stamitz. And so when John Corigliano was commissioned by the Chamber Orchestra in Mannheim to write a piece in 2001, they wanted him to utilize this concept of Mannheim Rocket, because that's what they're famous for. But John, instead of hearing a musical scale, he basically thought, okay, I kind of see this spaceship rocket in my mind. So he wrote a piece that's all about this spaceship going up, floating in the heavens and coming back down again. And what he does that's interesting is it's very soundscape, but he does musical quotes of Stamitz and then later on Haydn and Mozart and Wagner, and then he gets into Schoenberg and Stockhausen. And you hear all this as the rocket's going up, then there's the breaking of the glass, and then the rocket comes back down, and he does the quotes actually backwards. So I want us to hear the Stamitz quote, because this sets the whole thing off. Okay, so why don't we hear a little bit of the Mannheim Rocket from the beginning. And once again, it's the lighting of the match at the beginning, and then you're going to hear very mechanical sounds as the rocket begins to get ready to take off.
That's music of John Corigliano, entitled Mannheim Rocket, and that piece will be featured in a pair of concerts this weekend at Allentown Symphony Hall. With me in the studio, Maestro Diane Wittry.
Yeah, so the piece, you heard just the very beginning of it, but the piece builds. It gets lots of really fun effects, and you will hear these interesting quotes. And you've got to come and hear it live, because there's nothing like hearing this type of concert live at Symphony Hall. So we hope that we'll see you all there.
This piece of music will be featured in a pair of concerts at Allentown Symphony Hall this weekend, Saturday, April 14th, 8 o'clock, Sunday, April 15th at 3 o'clock, featuring the music of James Horner, Claude Debussy, John Corigliano, Gustav Holst. More information is at allentownsymphony.org. Maestro Diane Wittry, Dr. Jose Francisco Salgado, thank you so much for joining us today at WDIY.
Great, thank you.
Stand by for our classical calendar.